Hallo, liebe Leute da draußen und herzlich willkommen zur ersten Bonus-Episode unseres Podcasts. Ich hatte die großartige Gelegenheit, Peter Chen zu interviewen, einen der weltweit führenden Experten auf dem Gebiet der künstlichen Intelligenz. Entsprechend ist das nachfolgende Gespräch auch auf Englisch. Peter Chen ist Mitgründer von Covariant, einem kalifornischen Startup, das KI-gestützte Roboter entwickelt. Die Otto Group ist eine strategische Partnerschaft mit Covariant eingegangen, um ihr Logistiknetzwerk mit KI-Robotik zu stärken. Das Ziel ist es, mehr als 100 Roboter an den Logistikstandorten der Otto Group einzusetzen. Hintergründe dazu erfahrt ihr in der regulären Podcast-Folge aus dieser Woche. Da war Konzernvorstand Kai Schibur zu Gast. Vor diesem Hintergrund hat uns Peter Chen auf dem Otto Campus in Hamburg besucht. Und wir haben die Gelegenheit genutzt, um mit ihm über Roboter zu sprechen, die sehen, denken und handeln können. Darüber, was Lagerhallen zu einer hochkomplexen Umgebung für einen Roboter macht und wie die KI von Covariant stark von Peters früherer Arbeit bei OpenAI beeinflusst wird. Im Jahr 2017 gründete Peter Chen zusammen mit drei Kollegen Covariant. Ihr Ziel war es, die Erkenntnisse aus der KI-Forschung zu nutzen, um reale Probleme zu lösen. Zuvor war Peter unter anderem Doktorand an der UC Berkeley und spezialisierte sich auf KI und Robotik. Danach arbeitete er bei OpenAI, wie auch zwei seiner Covariant-Mitgründer. Damals war OpenAI allerdings noch eine sehr junge Organisation ohne eigenes Büro. Dennoch ist der Einfluss dieser Erfahrung noch heute in der Arbeit von Covariant sichtbar. Doch hört selbst. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for joining the podcast and taking the time for the interview.
It's great to be here.
You are one of the world's leading experts in AI, and of course, the technology is very widely discussed. But to me, it seems like many terms are mixed together. AI, chatbots, machine learning, deep learning, and so on. I even found articles discussing whether or not ChatGPT is to be considered an AI. So from your expert point of view, what makes a technological solution intelligent?
So I would like to first comment on the fact that the confusion is normal because the technology is being developed at such a rapid pace that even for people that are doing research in the field that are behind this technological revolution find the pace hard to keep up with. And so when you have such a technological change happening at such a rapid pace, confusion is normal. So this is a very much expected question. In terms of what is really the core of intelligence and what makes a system something that we would call AI, I typically think of it as performing certain kind of cognitive task. Like, what does that mean? Like, that's a distinction from a mechanical calculation. Like, what is 1 + 1 equates to? Like, that's a mechanical calculation. What is a more cognitive task? Like, what is an object in an image? Like, what kind of object is it? What can you do with it? Like, all of these things require a certain degree of understanding, reasoning, or making decision on something. That type of cognitive task is what we would consider an intelligent system can perform. But obviously, there are a huge breadth of cognitive tasks, the kind of intelligent tasks that can be performed by AI. And within each task, there is various degree of depth that you can go into, how good you are in doing that. But that becomes a much broader topic, as intelligence is a very broad topic to discuss.
Robots have been part of the working world for quite some time now, for instance, in the automotive, but also in the logistics industry. But yet they seem to be pretty limited to perform a very specific type of task. Yeah. And especially like the picking of items is often still performed by humans. So what makes it so difficult for this to be done by robots?
Yeah, so we have a lot of robots in our life today. We have a lot of automation equipment in automotive, in different kinds of manufacturing, logistics. But all of those robots and automation equipment are largely performing repetitive tasks, meaning the motion that they perform is the same. They just repeat the same thing again and again. So through clever mechanical and electrical engineerings, we have built machines that are really good at that, like repeating the same thing again and again at very high accuracy, at very high repeatability. But what we have not been able to solve yet is make those robots flexible, like make them have the ability to perform different kinds of motion, do things differently when it's presented with a different environment. And that lack of flexibility is what makes a lot of these picking tasks still unsolved by robotics, right? Because for most of these picking tasks, you need to do things differently every time. Right? Even when you're just handling one fixed kind of object, where does it appear? And in what orientation does it appear in front of the robot? All of these changes how a robot needs to interact and pick up that item. And when you consider a e-commerce, a general retail type of scenarios, that problem becomes significantly more complex because now you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of different kinds of items and items that are changing seasonally over time as you have new seasons of merchandises being introduced and old seasons of items being retired. And that kind of fast change plus the variety of items that the robots need to handle make it necessary that you need to have high level of intelligence in order to handle them.
Thank you. Makes sense. What other challenges, or are there other challenges in the context of logistics and intelligent robots?
I would say there are two layers to that question. Like the first layer is, are there challenges and opportunities that AI can solve in the context of logistics and warehouses? And the answer is there are a lot of them. I would say like anything that's about data analytics, that is about forecasting, that is about planning, data can inform AI to make better decisions in all of those things. Like, so I would say outside of robotics, like outside of the domain of robotics, there's definitely a lot of rooms for AI to play in the realm of logistics and warehouses. Specifically for robotics in warehouses, the future is very broad. So we have talked about picking in particular, but picking is only a small part of what robots can do in a warehouse. Like, so after you pick up the item, you can inspect whether it's damaged or not. Like after you inspect it, like you can perform barcode scanning, and then you can do sortation, you can do packing. And we are just talking about the fulfillment, or call it the forward logistics. We have still not talked about the reverse logistics, like how do you deal with returns and how do you process those type of items. And so there are many of these kinds of manipulation tasks that are not just about picking, but picking is a small subset of it. But there's like large variety of tasks that can be performed by AI-powered robots in a warehouse. And that's the potential that we see. Like we see the potential for AI-powered robots to go into warehouses today to start performing some of the quite simpler type of picking tasks. But that is really just the beginning of what an AI-powered robots-based future of warehouses will look like. And we would expect to see lots of robots performing more kinds of repetitive tasks that now require still a associate.
Thank you. Covariant developed the Covariant Brain that enables robots to see, think, and act. How does that work? What does that mean?
Perform. Yeah. And this kind of comes back to the initial question that we were discussing, that is like, what is considered intelligence, right? Like intelligence is about not just performing certain mechanical tasks or repeating something, but it's the ability to handle something that's new, like that requires a little bit of thinking. Right? And in the case of Covariant Brain, it's a foundation model for robotics. Like, what does that mean is that it's an AI model that is trained on a vast amount of robot data. Like, it aggregates robots' interactions with the world from robots across multiple continents, robots in different kinds of warehouses, handling different kinds of items. And all of these data create one general AI system that gives us the ability to look at the world and understand it very much like how a human would, right? It would understand the world in 3D, so I know where should I go to grab a certain item. It would understand object semantics, like it would understand like which is the object that I should pick up, which is the object that I shouldn't pick up. It would understand physical affordances, like how an object can be interacted with, like what is a stable way to grab something, what is not a stable way to grab something. And it also has the ability to reason about movement in our physical world, like how should you move an item so you wouldn't drop it, like so you can transport it successfully, so you wouldn't damage it, and you wouldn't collide with anything. So all of these somewhat subconscious ability that we have as a human being to interact with the world is the type of things that we are recreating inside Covariant Brain. And that AI has that ability, just like how a human would, to understand the world in 3D, understand objects, understand affordances, understand motion, and then it endow those capabilities to a actual physical systems to give it the ability to move and react intelligently to what's in front of it.
It's very interesting and probably also a good bridge to my next question, because you and two of your co-founders previously worked at OpenAI and then started your own company. And it would be very interesting to hear how this affects the way you now approach the problems of intelligent robots in the logistics industry and the challenges there.
Yeah, this is a really good question. There was definitely a very profound influence that OpenAI has on Covariant. So as a little bit of a background story, two of my co-founders, Professor Peter Beal, a UC Berkeley professor in robotics, as well as our CTO, Rocky Duan, three of us were very early members of OpenAI. So when we joined OpenAI, in fact, we didn't even have an office back then. We were working out of Greg Brockman, OpenAI CTO's own condo. So that's kind of like how early it was. But even when very early on, OpenAI had this core technology thesis that is, in order to build general AI system, you need to build data-defined system. So when we talk about artificial intelligence in the past, there were many, many kinds of artificial intelligence that have existed. So for example, like back in 90s, like you have computer that can beat human champion in the game of chess. So, that's a form of intelligence, right? And that's pretty smart. But if you look behind it, the intelligence is built by human ingenuity. Like it's kind of a human teaching the computer program, how should you play chess? Like giving it the rule of chess, giving it some heuristic on here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do, and then play it out for a couple more steps. So definitely impressive intelligence, but not data-defined intelligence, because you are programming that intelligence into a computer system. So that I would call is the first generation of classical AI. Like they are intelligent systems, but they are not data-defined. Like how smart they are totally depends on how smart the programmer is, that who programs that. And when you look at this more recent phenomenon of ChatGPT as well as Covariant Brain, it represents a new generation of AI that embodies this philosophy of really data-driven system. Like, what we mean by that is most of the intelligent behavior that the system exhibits comes from the data, as opposed to coming from the engineers, the researcher, the program system. And this is a drastic shift in paradigm, right? So in the past, the classical AI is only as good as how you program it, and it will never exceed that, no matter how long the AI interacts with the world. Versus now, the AI can actually exhibit behavior that the people that design it don't even know themselves, because the AI is learning from data on itself. So it goes beyond the limitation of whoever that designs and programs the system. It also has the ability to continue to learn, right? Because when you have a system that is purely data-driven, when you have more data, it continues to improve and learn from it. And this idea of a very radically data-defined, data-driven AI is the philosophy that OpenAI had since the beginning, and has also been the philosophy that we had since the beginning of Covariant, right? So now Covariant has robots across three continents, and all of these robots are all connected together, and all of their learnings are shared and contribute to a single Covariant Brain. And no one else on the planet does that. Like, there might be other robotic systems out there, but all the other robotic systems like learn in isolation. Like, one robot might have its own brain, might have its own data, but they're not connected together. They don't really learn and share together. So this philosophy is definitely heavily influenced by our time at OpenAI. And this philosophy now has actually a name attached to it. Like, it actually didn't have a name a couple years ago when we were still at OpenAI. This is now called a foundation model. Like, so this name is coined by a couple of researchers at Stanford University. Like, what a foundation model is, it's a model that learns from a vast amount of data across a huge breadth of different type of tasks, so that when you give it the next task, it can perform better because it has seen a lot of similar things before. And now we have this term, like we can say a lot of the core OpenAI philosophy is on building foundation model. And same for covariant, like a lot of the core philosophy is on building foundation model for robotics. And I would say like that's really the primary influence. I mean, there are a lot of small, interesting, more anecdotal influences that we have. For example, like we use a lot of the same interview questions when we interview AI scientists, like just because that's kind of a lot of where the team came from and inherited a lot of the ideas.
That's really cool. Thank you so much for the explanation. Recently, some very well-known Silicon Valley founders and personalities have called for stopping the development of AI that is smarter than GPT-4 due to the risks associated with the technology. What's your take on this? And do you consider Covariant's AI to be smarter than GPT-4?
So maybe let me take the second part of the question first. Like, do I consider Covariant AI, Covariant Brain to be smarter than GPT-4? So the answer is yes and no. Like, yes, in the sense that Covariant Brain is trained on a lot more robots' interaction with the world, especially in a logistics setting, than GPT-4, right? Because GPT-4 is largely trained on data from the internet, but you can't find that much data on the internet about the physical world, especially about warehouses, let alone robots' interactions within a warehouses. Because of that, GPT-4 is actually not that smart in a logistics warehouse, especially in a robotics setting. And as we discussed, like GPT-4 and Covariant Brain are all foundation model. Like, they are kind of as good as the data is, because GPT-4 lacked that data, but it's not as good as Covariant Brain. On the other hand, GPT-4 has seen a whole lot more data about many other different things, right? So like, for example, if we want to translate a paragraph from German to English, then GPT-4 is much, much better than that. And then going back to your first part of your question on the recent call to stop development of models that are more capable than GPT-4. So when you look at the latter, like, the core idea behind that call is not necessarily about how the technology can be misused, but it's about kind of an existential risk, like this so-called singularity moment, like when you build an intelligent system that is smarter than human, then if a human can build that intelligent system that's smarter than human, then a system that is more intelligent than human can improve itself faster. And so like there's this so-called singularity moment, and then this so-called hard takeoff scenario where the intelligence improvement speed would be so fast that it would quickly get out of control. But that kind of is the core existential risk that people are pointing out associated with training bigger models than GPT-4. For me, scientist perspective, the risk exists theoretically, right? But existential risk exists for many other things that exist in our world, right? Like, I would say if you put a actual likelihood on it, I don't really think it's that likely, right? And so I would instead ask people to focus attention on how the technology can be misused. Just like any powerful technology, there are ways to misuse them, right? And with this large language model, with this generative AI, misinformation is definitely a big part of how a lot of these technology can be misused. So I would urge people to think more about how these type of technologies can already be misused, like without training larger, bigger models, and how to mitigate that while still harnessing the power of it. And instead of focusing time on the existential risk of humanity taken over by AI.
So we're already at the end of this interview. So now let's have a look into the broader future. And let's imagine Covariant has mastered the logistics industry and created perfectly trained smart robots that can pick and place just fine. Can these or could these robots survive in another environment than a warehouse? So would they truly be intelligent? And if so, what's next for Covariant and the Covariant brain?
This is a great question. Some of the assumption behind the questions might indicate logistics and warehouses are a rather simple environment. But that's actually not true. So think about it this way. Almost every single piece of object that we interact with in our world goes through a warehouse in some capacity, right? Like it has to flow through the logistics network before it gets to us. I mean, unless you go to a factory and just like buy it together, like, but 99.999% of the goods in the world flow through some logistics network in some capacity. So when you think about it that way, logistics and warehouses are probably arguably the most complex and diverse scenarios that you have. And so from that perspective, like an AI that is trained and has shown success in warehouses should have the ability to interact with the broader world. And I'm choosing the word very carefully here because there is a AI challenge and then there is also a robotics challenge. And the reason I say that is even when you have an AI that is learned how to handle every single piece of object in the world, does not mean you have the physical body that is right for the rest of the world. Let's say I want to build a household robot and I'm giving it the AI that understands how to interact with anything that exists in your home because it has seen it all in a warehouse. The ability to have covariant brain to solve that AI problem, I have a lot of confidence about. But whether we have the ability to build a physical mechanical robot that is cost effective in a home setting, that becomes a slightly different matter. And I would say like that same philosophy would basically guide how Covariant Brain and how Covariant will expand to additional domains. Like, it's basically evaluating whether the physical body makes sense for a specific industry, right? But then there are a lot of industries where that would make sense, right? For example, large chunk of manufacturing are still manual, right? And then agriculture, especially when it comes to picking and handling of goods, are still largely manual. And the service industry is still largely manual, like restaurant, commercial kitchens, food prep centers, like all of these places are still extremely manual. And all of those places have sufficient industrial scale to make building purpose-specific robotics hardware worthwhile. So those will be places that we expect to expand into. As hardware costs come down, we definitely would expect covariant brain power robots to go into a consumer setting as well.
We've already reached the end of the interview. So thank you for sharing the insights and thank you for taking the time for this podcast. It was a pleasure to have you.
It's great.